Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Tuesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Elijah Herbel. The training continues for one Elijah. He's probably bored out of his mind. We'll let him talk more today. Colton, you're drinking that green goop again. I made a smoothie last night because I'm trying to cut the boiler front porch down a little bit. Get a little more... I'm always mean, but lean. Lot to get into. A new tight end for Nebraska to tell you about here shortly. We'll talk with a fullback and Hall of Fame great for Nebraska. Joel Makovica with us in 1 hour. Get Joel's take on program and culture and thoughts on that running back room, since Joel was one of the best to participate in it back when fullbacks still carried the football and played. Excited to talk with Mitch Sherman. Mitch going to join us in about 20 minutes from The Athletic. You can chime in, as always, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Follow us on Twitter, Chris Schmidt, at Schmidt underscore radio, Colton Stone, two birds, one stone, and at Herbal Essences for Elijah. Okay, I want to kind of parallel this to fan bases you've experienced. So maybe some of you listened or watched Game 5 of the NBA Finals last night. I was riveted because of how that thing closed down. We'll hear from plenty of Golden State folks, specifically Steph, Clay, and Kerr, coming up this show. But I want to bring it, all as always, back to something with Nebraska and college football. So you're watching last night. You see Durant start off drilling threes. You see Durant go 3 for 5. You see Durant try and make a move on that right wing. And then you see, and you've seen the slow motion on Twitter, where the Achilles pops. And it's devastating. And you go from, before we left the show yesterday, I just kind of was verbally eye-rolling Kevin Durant, right? And I have a lot of history with... I shouldn't even say history. I have a lot of financial interest vested in Kevin Durant as a father. Junior's favorite player, the reason he started playing basketball was because of Kevin Durant. He had the fat head in his room. God knows how many stupid Oklahoma City Junior jerseys Junior owns. We're talking the throwback. We're talking the Sunday fine. Whatever, man. We have burnt money on Kevin Durant jerseys when he was between the ages of 5 and 9, okay? We have bought Kevin Durant shoes. We have taken Junior to see Kevin Durant at basketball camp. Carson's got to meet him a couple times because Carson got luckily picked on the right team, okay? So, dudes was the guy my kid looked up to. As soon as Kevin left for a better, prettier girl, down went the fat head. No more KD shoes were purchased, and the jerseys are still hanging, okay? So Junior divorced him. And Durant, even in our conversations with Dean Blevins, who covers Oklahoma City, is locked in to that basketball team. Dean's very candid. Dean has no axe to grind. And Dean's like, look, dude, Durant's got some interesting people in his ear. Kevin Durant's a guy that's got burner accounts, so he can jump on and say, hey, Kevin, nice game. He is Michael Scott from The Office, where he wants to be loved and liked. And you all know somebody like that in your life, someone you care about, somebody you're friends with, maybe it's somebody you knew in school. But there's just that type of personality out there where he is wanting to please and can't take not being liked, can't take the criticism. He just wants to go play ball, and he doesn't want risk. He doesn't. Mm-hmm. He wants to be the hero, not the goat, and he doesn't want the baggage that comes with that risk-taking. He wants to be the guy that gets the final shot and makes the final shot. but he doesn't want to get crucified for it if he misses. Okay, that's the personality you're dealing with. And Durant went to and joined an already stacked and loaded team. Clearly, he has enhanced Golden State. He has been a difference maker with them against Houston. He's been a difference maker with them and helped them get past Cleveland. Okay, and it was a different Cleveland squad that they beat that was the Cleveland team that Golden State could not hold a 3-1 lead against. So all of that with Durant and where he's at right now, he's a guy that we, and the question's there. His mom's on Twitter. Why are you doubting my baby? Okay. Because he's thin-skinned and petty. But that doesn't mean he's not going to sell out for guys, not going to be a good teammate for guys. I think it's been hard for me to separate the guy that's thin-skinned and wanting to be liked versus the guy that is a player that can come out and obviously take over and perform, but wanted to be out there. That's the impression I got from his teammates, was that they're sick of the drama and the noise, and Durant needs to stop Twitter battling or using burner accounts to keep feeding the monster. It's a maturity thing. And this will be very tough on him. He is crushed right now. He is going to be out for a year with an Achilles injury. Likely, there's no official naming of it, but you saw it pop. You know what it is. You have questions. You have the GM crying last night, Mr. Myers. Did someone put a gun to Durant's head to go play last night? Was he pressured by his teammates? No. No. That locker room's stand up enough and tight enough to say, man, we don't want you to risk it. They have a bigger and better appreciation for him after the fact because he went out there and sold out for them. And they are distraught that he couldn't do it. He gave him energy. They performed well. And then they finished like the champions they are with that 9-0 spurt. It was incredible. Now, what I want to get to, and here is Steph Curry on the fans last night in Toronto. And you had the injury. We'll have Boogie Cousins once we edit the F-bombs out of it next hour. But here's Steph Curry on the Toronto fan base losing their mind with joy when a guy has a career-threatening and ending injury last night. Steph Curry kind of took the high road with it. I want to get into that aspect of fans and when they get most vile.
Very confused around that reaction. It's not my experience with, you know, the people of this city. And I commend, obviously, Danny Green and Kyle Lowry especially. I think they were the ones that were kind of signaling to the crowd, like, let's check ourselves a little bit and understand that this is about an individual and a human being and not, oh, shoot, he's out, he's hurt, we won the championship. Like, that was probably their initial thought. And you hate to see that when a guy's going, you know, through pain like that. So, again, that's not my experience with this city. And I just hope that ugliness doesn't show itself again as we go forward in this series.
So Steph was trying to be a bit diplomatic, but what happened happened. And you had 18,000 Toronto fans. Their first reaction wasn't of concern or care for somebody who got hurt. The reason you're dropping $3,000 to get in that building is to see a championship. But you're also seeing the two best in the league face off. You're seeing KD back. You're seeing Kawhi battle. And the majority of the fans went to a dark place where they're happy and excited. This gives us a better chance to win. You've experienced that. Maybe you've gone there at some point as a sports fan. You want it so bad for your team that you don't care how it happens, just get it done, right? Well, it just reminds you of maybe some places you've been and how they've acted, where their fan base hadn't beaten Nebraska in a long time. They finally take out Nebraska, and they don't know how to handle themselves. I've not physically been to Columbia, Missouri, but the book on Missouri Tiger fans is that they, not all of them, I'm not going to broad brush, But Toronto went Missouri Tiger a little bit last night. Toronto went a little Colorado Buffalo last night. That's what it reminded me of, where you have a fan base that just is so hell bent on beating you that they lose all sense of reality.
Well, I'll give you a personal example. Ohio State 2011. Obviously, we know, I think it would have been, Braxton Miller at quarterback, right? When he broke his leg in that game, that Nebraska's like only victory over Ohio State since joining the Big Ten. At first, I mean, I'd say I would have been one of the people that's like, this is good.
When Braxton got knocked down?
Yeah. It's like, this is a good thing. But at the same time, it's like,
you want to beat him at their peak.
Exactly. It's great that now you have a better chance to win, but at what cost? For the other team. I mean, you don't ever want anyone to get hurt, even if it gives your team a better chance. And it's nothing you cheer for. Maybe in your head you go, hey, this is better for us or for our team, but it's not better for the game overall.
It's not, and it comes down to, you know, what type of fan are you? And I'm not going to like govern how you should be a fan, but I always. Growing up, the day after Thanksgiving was special in our household, where here comes Switzer, here comes Oklahoma, or you shifted, obviously, in the Big 12 era, it's Colorado. Mm-hmm. And you wanted to beat those guys because it was the game. Usually it meant a trip to the Orange Bowl. As you kept progressing as a program, it meant a shot for a national championship. And you had so many chances years before where you got derailed by a really good squad and a really good coach, and they broke your heart and they ripped your heart out. And I remember this was back in 88. I remember I was 10 years old, and Nebraska's playing Oklahoma. It's down in Norman. My folks get together with the same crew for years to watch the Nebraska-Oklahoma game. If it's in Norman, and it's you know, Switzer's on his way out, Barry's last game against Nebraska, and he's going to resign after the Citrus Bowl in 1988, and I'll never forget where it's a 7-3 ball game. It is pouring, and this is old school AstroTurf, where you know it's cement with a little carpet on top. And I mean, it is flat out just raining sideways, and you can barely see. It looks like fog that CBS had the game. And towards the end of the game, Charles Thompson, who ended up going and doing time for cocaine trafficking, he got hit by Lawrence Pete and another Nebraska guy. They tag teamed him, and the guy busted his leg. And I'm like, wow, that sucks for that guy. But I remember just seeing, like, oh my God, they're stud playmakers out. That gives us a chance to win. But I also remember the story of Coach Osborne sending the guy flowers and visiting him in the hospital. And I'm like, that stuck with me more than just the 3 seconds. And I'm not going to indict the bar room that was posing as a living room while Nebraska finally beat Oklahoma on the road. But we've witnessed that moment where you lose your mind as a fan and forget someone's a human being that just suffered an insane injury that they fought to try and get back for, that they were questioned. And you just hope you don't go that route. And for the most part, I mean, every fan base has the stepchild that you don't want to claim. There's two or three a-holes that they're not part of our group, right? Mm-hmm. But, man, for the most part, Nebraska's and the fans at Nebraska, they've carried themselves at a very, very high level. I can't say that about some other fan bases. And I was sad to see Toronto go there last night because, man, they've been, and I don't know Canadian culture at all. I know hockey's the sport up there. But I tell you what, they have been loud and proud for a long, long time before Vince Carter took them to the Eastern Conference Finals. And they've been there since they've made this run. And I hope they can do better if there's a game 7 there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a it's a weird thing because you never think a fan base or even individual fans, not even so much an entire building. Not that everybody in there was like, yes, here we go. We've got
this. They moved on from their joy for Durant getting hurt to being like a 12th man when Kawhi went on that 10-0 spurt.
Yeah.
And that is really cool to see in sports. And where the building's shaking and you're seeing greatness execute and take over.
Right. And that's what you want. You want to root for things that are happening for your team, not something that happens to the other team that benefits you. And I think that's why it's an issue, is that you're rooting for the instant gratification, but not so much about the long-term health of someone that it means, whether people want to say it or not, means so much to the game of basketball right now. Because he is, I mean, arguably top three players in the league right now, and top five for sure.
Well, I've done a bit of a 180 on Durant after the fact. Very impressed with him trying to get out there and give it a go. And extremely heart-wrenching. But, man, you've seen it. If you've been on the road, you're a Nebraska fan, you've been in some hostile environments where something goes sideways against Nebraska and you see kind of the ugliness of sports. You saw it briefly in Toronto, but I don't think that's the whole picture of them. We'll talk some college football and some Big Red Baseball. Mitch Sherman coming up on Hail Varsity.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Elijah Herbel. We say hi to Mitch Sherman from The Athletic. At Mitch Sherman on Twitter is where you follow him and read him with The Athletic. Mitch, what's new? How are you?
I'm good. I'm well, Chris. Getting ready for the College World Series. Spent some time down in Lawrence, Kansas yesterday for a couple stories to come up, and enjoying June. How about you?
June's been pretty nice. Just talking a little bit about when a fan base goes to that dark place cheering an injury last night with Kevin Durant, Toronto, and Golden State. I want to go to Nebraska baseball. There's been no announcement, and really, I don't want to say quiet, but nothing really floating out there compared to a week ago with some of the names and some of the those on the wish list. Mitch, in your insight, where's Nebraska at right now? What's a timeline you have in mind for the next Nebraska baseball coach?
Well, you know, I think we have to consider the possibility that Bill Moose has been turned down, which I didn't know if that was humanly possible to say no to him when he's out asking people to consider a coaching job in his first couple of searches, at least the high profile ones. He got his number one choice. I don't think there's any doubt that Scott Frost and Fred Hoiberg were his choices from the second that those jobs opened to lead the Nebraska football and basketball programs. In this case, I would expect that he's probably gone after somebody by now, and I would agree. It's quiet, not hearing a lot. That doesn't mean that we won't get real noisy an hour from now or 10 minutes from now, but it seems to be quiet. So I think he's probably working through that list, and you know, maybe his second or third choice will be the guy who takes Nebraska back to the College World Series. You don't know. I don't think there's any reason to pass judgment on what is happening right now, but it's and you know, there isn't the urgency. There's always urgency to have a head coach, but there isn't the kind of urgency that you had when you made those other two hires, in that of course you have to hire a football coach before the early recruiting period gets there, and that was the case of course in December of 17. You need to hire a basketball coach in a fairly short amount of time when you're in the spring again, right ahead of a recruiting period. We're going into a quieter time on the baseball calendar. So if you go a few weeks without a guy in that seat, I think, you know, your program can withstand that a lot more easily than you could in one of those other two sports. As for a timeline, you know, I think it'll happen during the College World Series. And that's not really going out on too much of a limb, since the series starts here in about 4 days and lasts for like 99 days after that. I think that's right, isn't it?
Close to 99, yes.
Yeah, it goes until, I think, September 15th is when the championship series ends. But, yeah, he'll have some. I think that, you know, by June 25th, 26th, when the College World Series ends, you can expect that Bill Moos really hopes and plans to have someone sitting in that seat.
Well, from a sizzle standpoint, and Moos is about the pomp as well as getting the right guy, you're going to have college baseball's finest here covering the CWS. And why not make an announcement when they can be a part of it, right? I mean,
it's something. That's a factor. It's not a giant factor. Mm-hmm. But if you can get it talked about on ESPN for a few minutes mm-hmm. during one of these games, when there's more eyes on college baseball than any other time of the year, and if you can have this happen when Baseball America and D1 Baseball are right down the street, you know, maybe you get some of those guys to come to the press conference. I don't know, have the press conference in Omaha. How about that? I mean, that seems odd. I wouldn't expect it to happen, but, you know, if I'm Bill Moos, why not? Do it in Omaha. Do it at the Hilton across the street from TD Ameritrade. I don't. It just popped into my mind as I was answering that.
That's
question.
That's a nice but, Hilton.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to have the sizzle and it's a priority for you to hire a coach and get some national attention out of it, and maybe that helps you in recruiting. Maybe it helps you in I don't know where, but it can't hurt. I guess is what I'm thinking. And why not? Hire a coach with the College World Series in the backdrop would be a nice play for Moos.
Two names that we talked about a week ago that I want to go back to: Rob Childress and Will Bold at A&M. Seeley's also on staff down there. I don't want to belabor this, but you'd have to think by now we'd know if there was a yes, if there was a feeler sent out to Coach Childress. You have to believe that Coach Childress may be comfortable where he's at and has done a great job with A&M. They're on the cusp about every year, and he is, right. He'll be 51 coming up, I believe. So, you know what? Let's finish the run out in my home state at A&M. With Will Bolt, what objections would there be? Not necessarily from Bill Moos's standpoint. I know the head coaching experience is something he wants. Will has that at the JUCO level. But what objections do you think would be there for Will to pass on this job if it's offered? I'm not saying that's right or wrong or where we're at with it, but I'm just kind of going down this hypothetical road, and I don't like doing that with you, but I'm interested to kind of get your take on what would keep Will Bolt away from Lincoln.
I don't think that he would say no. I think if Will Bolt is offered the job, he will take it. Now, that's if it's presented to him in the way that Bill Moos has presented other jobs: a competitive salary, the ability to spend money on the program, to be competitive with who you bring in as assistant coaches. Those are some of the most important things, the resources. And resources are always a tough subject with college baseball, because they're just not there by the nature of the sport within the NCAA structure in the same way that they are in football and basketball. So it almost makes it more important that you give your baseball program everything that you can within the rules. I would not expect Bill Moos does not strike me as the kind of guy who's going to go out and hire a coach and then hamstring that coach by saying you only get X amount of dollars right. That's below market value to bring in to have your assistant coaches, or we're not going to let you schedule the way that you feel you need to schedule competitively in the non-conference because it's going to cost too much to go play those games. No way if that were to happen, then you probably turn down the job if you're anybody, including Will Bull. But I don't think that's the way that Bill Moos is operating with this. I think he's going to give his coach what his coach needs. So I think if Will Bolt has the chance, he'll jump at it. He'll take that chance. It's a huge jump up from being an assistant coach, even in the SEC, to being a head coach at Nebraska. So we'll see. I think if that was at the top of Bill's list, then he would be in place and he would have already been announced. I don't think you would wait until the College World Series to hire your coach if you had an opportunity to do it several days before. But if you get down to this week, then maybe you do wait until you can have it in the spotlight. And with Childress, you know, I agree with you. I feel like it's been a very much a long shot from the start, and you know that it wouldn't have even been worth bringing up unless there was some kind of a tumultuous situation at Texas A&M, and that's what we didn't know. We don't know how the new athletic director Ross Bjork feels about Rob Childress. He is on the record saying some nice things, but you know, put your money where your mouth is, and give the guy more years to work with on his contract. If that doesn't happen and he's unwilling to commit, then I think that possibility could still be in play. And maybe it's holding it up. Maybe Childress is waiting to hear something about A&M's commitment to him, and that could potentially be holding up Nebraska on the other end. I think he's worth waiting for if you have a shot to get him, but I don't know that that's what's happening.
It's not necessarily just all about Nebraska's timeline, is it? If you're waiting on extensions and reassurances, it could be on the new AD's timeline to meet with his baseball coach. Mitch Sherman's with us from The Athletic, Hail Varsity Radio. Mitch, down to about 3 minutes with the CWS, and I got to get thoughts on Wandale Robinson as well. First, we'll start with the CWS. Arkansas, they are poised again. They are loaded again. Is this the year for Dave Van Horn?
You know, it might be. Everybody thinks it's the year for Mike Martin, or hopes it's the year for Mike Martin in Florida State. And lo and behold, they're going toe-to-toe on Saturday night, game one of the series. You know, that's going to be an interesting crowd because Van Horn has always been, since he went to Arkansas, a fan favorite at the College World Series because of what he did for Nebraska baseball. Maybe that first time with Arkansas was a little awkward, but ever since that, I think he's loved his experience, and it's been reciprocated by the local fans who have enjoyed having him here. And you know, whatever feelings there were, emotions there were from his Nebraska days are long since wiped out, you know, at least on the negative side. Mm-hmm. And seeing him come within one out of a championship a year ago, you know, a dropped foul ball from winning a championship, I got to think that he's a sentimental favorite, but not quite sentimental in the same way that Mike Martin at Florida State is. He took a team that barely made it into the field and ran through Georgia and LSU in the first two rounds, and now in his 17th trip to Omaha has a chance to go out a winner and bring Florida State its first championship. And, I mean, what a storyline that is. So I'm really looking forward to that Saturday night game.
Mitch, about 45 seconds. What do you anticipate happening with Wandale Robinson?
You know, some kind of internal discipline, I would expect. I think, you know, on a bigger level, it'll lead to a discussion if that hasn't already happened in light of the Maurice Washington situation in a similar situation just a week earlier. A discussion between head coach and his players to cut that out. Whatever your opinions are about marijuana use in today's culture, it's still against the law, and it's still not something that's acceptable to do in the dorms at Nebraska or really anywhere when you're representing this football program, which you are at all points. So, yeah, I don't think you'll necessarily see him suspended or anything like that if it doesn't happen again. But the bigger thing is I think it'll probably lead to a talk between coach and players about cutting out that kind of activity.
Mitch Sherman with us. Mitch, we'll see you in Omaha, bud. Thanks for the time.
All right, take care, Chris. Thanks.
He's in his 30s. but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Thank you, Kramer. Great to be back with you. Mitch Sherman is Can't Miss Radio. He's fantastic. We'll have that posted on ESPN Lincoln, the on-demand section. Elijah will get some thoughts on Will Bolt from Mitch up on the ESPN SoundCloud. Hail Varsity will also get that tweeted out for you as well. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Numbers to get in. I want to remind you about what's going on with your friends at Madonna Proactive, Madonna Therapy Plus. So let's talk golf for a second. I am not able to sneak away for golf this week. Colton and Elijah put their foot down. But if you're playing golf and you've got a little ache and pain going, some tightness limiting your swing, let Madonna Therapy Plus at Proactive get you back in the game. The Swing Well Golf Assessment and Fitness Program is going on. Darren Bryant is the Titleist Performance Institute certified golf fitness expert. He uses a physical evaluation combined with video analysis to customize an exercise and set up a program for you to get your swing back. This sounds like something that you could look at and investigate. The Swing Well Golf Assessment Program. It's not a lesson designed to get your body where it needs to be to give you the swing you want. Call today with Madonna Therapy Plus at Proactive at 402-420-0004 or can log on madonnatherapyplus.org. Okay, saw Dan Hoppen tweet this out. Want to give Dan a shout out on it. And spend a few minutes on the NBA, not Golden State, not Toronto's fan base, but Isaiah Roby. Isaiah Roby and CBS Sports and the latest mock draft. So if you're wondering, Zion Williams is still going to the Pelicans. But let's fast forward to pick number 31. In the latest CBS Sports mock draft, your favorite Husker, per Kyle Boone, is going with the number one pick in the second round to the New Jersey. I just need to put a dollar in the swear jar. The Brooklyn Nets. I'll get that right someday. But that's high. The highest I'd seen Roby slated is late first round, maybe to San Antonio. And he's totally a Popovich guy, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, his athleticism and versatility. But right now, per Boone, you've got a guy. They got Bruno Fernando. That guy's still a beast. Going to Golden State, 29 overall. But Roby gets things kicked off with the 31st pick to the Nets. So his athleticism and ball handling make him an intriguing prospect with room to grow. Both from the physical perspective and the skill perspective, you team him with Dudley and Hollis Jefferson. Both those guys headed to free agency this summer. Roby can fill a need as a quality depth piece with, say it with me, immense upside. So I got to ask you, if Roby goes to the Nets, are you chipping in on NBA TV so you can watch him every night?
No.
No? Okay.
I don't see him getting significant play time in the league his first year.
I don't think so either.
He's way too raw for that. I think he needs to go either G League or Europe or something to go get his A, three-point shooting up, and B, just get overall confidence up. He's not ready for NBA yet.
How much of it is that tentativeness? Because you've seen Roby when he catches an in-rhythm drill. He's money from the top of the key. I mean, that was kind of his spot. It's about taking the action to do it, right? The ball handling side of things and the turnovers, this isn't Pinata Tuesday. Roby's the name of the pinata, no. But just calling it like we see it, there's so much upside, so much talent. And you saw him in some of the workouts and combine sessions where when he turned it on, I mean, it was coast to coast. You get a block shot, you gather the ball, you sprint out, you take off from the free throw line, You glide through the air. You thunder dunk it down. There is room and a role for him. But let's talk about Roby, what he can do now versus what he's going to need to be able to do long-term in the NBA. And just look at, like, Golden State's kind of no-names. Quinn Cook, right? He's a little guard. I think he's out of Illinois. Quinn Cook's never met a shot he doesn't like. And he hits him. And he hit a big shot last night. So there's Quinn Cook. You've got the kid out of Oregon, right, that's seen some minutes. Bogut, former number one pick overall. Boogie, obviously lottery pick that's come back from injury. In the NBA, it's all about finding your role, whether you're a starter and you're a splash brother, or whether you're Draymond and you're the garbage man, you're the glue, where you can do it all. You're that versatile. Draymond's big and thick, and he's 6'8". But from a skill standpoint, it'd be cool to see Roby someday get to that level with maybe a little more consistency from the outside as Draymond. I don't know that he can be as physical in the paint ever as Draymond. That's not just – Roby isn't a physical paint guy. He's more of a finesse player. But from a skill standpoint, like a ceiling and a freakish athleticism kind of makeup, he's a guy that I could see if things go right for him and he gets developed, he could be a little skinnier, more finesse version of Draymond.
There's a couple of things with that. One, you can't teach him to be bigger. You can try to get him to be bigger, but obviously the makeup of each of them is going to be slightly different.
I'm just saying,
you look at
Draymond's shoulders, you look at Roby's shoulders.
Exactly.
Right now.
Another thing is aggressiveness. I think, and you talk about him being tentative, you can't always teach someone to be more aggressive, but you've got to find a way. I don't know if that's yelling at him more in practice. I don't know if that's just like someone being so aggressive to him that he eventually snaps. I don't know what it is. But I think that's the thing.
I think, like, the yelling may have been tried the last 3 years to get him to play at a certain level.
That's probably true, and maybe it didn't work. But I think aggressiveness
didn't work consistently.
Exactly, you know, people talk about when they talk about Kevin Durant, well, if he wanted to score, and it's like, well, you can't want to, you just have to. And I think he just has to be more aggressive. He won't have to handle the ball as much because they'll have a point guard, Kyrie maybe, if he were to go to the Nets. They'll have someone that can bring the ball up, so he won't have to do so much of that. So I think it's just more about not being a physical paint presence, but being aggressive enough that he can play down low or on the block. Mm-hmm.
And at least locking down on defense.
Yeah.
That's what he can bring to the table right away. He's a great rim protector already. He needs to learn just to be physical against those big NBA guys. He's not used to that. But I think he can bring that to the table right away.
Is there a comparison out there? I mean, is there a dude you think of in the NBA that like matches Roby? I mean, who's his veteran doppelganger on the floor right now?
And Green?
Well, but Green's maybe your three-point assassin.
That's true.
Size-wise and build-wise, I don't disagree with you. And I don't think I'm smoking anything here with going Draymond. I'm just saying that athleticism, that skill set, what Draymond's doing with pushing tempo once he claims the rebound.
His potential offensive game almost reminds me of a Siakam.
Yeah, that's a great call. You're athletic and you can glide to the rim. We'll wind down hour one next.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
10 minutes away, it is Joel Makavica time, the old fullback trap. Excited to talk with him about Husker football culture, thoughts on Frost. We'll dive into who he might be frightened of, although Makavica is not scared of anything. In the Big Ten West, we'll talk about the new tight end Nebraska got from Rutgers. That is on the way next hour. And some good stuff on HailVarsity.com. Games of the year in the Big Ten. We'll see if their list matches our list. Can give us a shout here on Hail Varsity Radio on Twitter at Schmidt_radio. At Two Birds, One Stone for Colton. At Herbal Essences for Elijah Herbal. Great to be with you today. Email Chris at HailVarsity.com. Sauter-Heyman.com. Friends at Sauter-Heyman are waiting for you. Dad's Day is coming up. Maybe it's time to get dad or just take care of yourself with a new timepiece. Rick and your friends at Sauter-Heyman, three locations for you, 12th and O. Downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln around West, in Grand Island. In-store coupons through June 16th. When you spend $350 or more, an in-store coupon giving you $75 off. That's pretty awesome. As always, free gift wraps and interest-free financing options available. So make the trek to Sauter-Heyman today for Dad's Day. Find that new fantastic timepiece. Maybe it's time for Dad to get an Oris or a Rolex or something special like that. Sauter-Heyman.com. Okay, so we've spent a little bit of time on the NBA on Game 5. And just when you see a good fan base go to a dark place cheering an injury and kind of reminisced about experiencing that either on the road as a Nebraska fan or just growing up watching sports. And I haven't sat Junior down yet about, you know, getting his take because he was in the other room with Mama watching this game. And I haven't asked him if he's forgiven Durant for leaving yet. I kind of know the answer, but I haven't sat down and psychoanalyzed him. And we're funny about our sports like heroes growing up. I was George Brett, man. I loved George Brett. I bumped into him in the hallway. I never got a chance to ask him for a pinch of Red Man because I think he has the whole pouch in his left jaw still. Who was your guy growing up?
Oh, it's Dwayne Wade. Still
D Wade. Still D Wade.
Yeah. Okay.
So have you harassed him on the sideline while you're doing camera work?
No, I see. I want
a picture of you in his hand saying, "Watch out for you." Hi, I'm Colton.
Maybe.
Can you sign this?
I want to meet him. I think that'd be awesome. There's been
I'm sure
so
he
many
wants
times.
To meet you.
Well, you never know. At least it's not a guy that's like 8 inches taller than I am. We'd be able to, you know, go eye to eye. So
I'm sure he
size him up a little.
Stare
you know?
Into though. My cousin did bodyguard work for him. When he was
so we have a connection is what you're telling
when
me.
When he was in Omaha, when he would visit Omaha a few years back.
Yeah, that's I know he's been around, obviously, and he's come to Lincoln a couple of times, so just missed him.
Elijah, who was your dude growing up?
I don't know. I was always a big Broncos fan. I really liked John Elway, but he was kind of before my time.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I got older, it was Tim Tebow when the Broncos drafted Tebow. I like Tebow when he's at Florida.
Okay.
There's never really one guy going growing up, though.
No, but, I mean, Tebow fits. I get that. Elway, it was funny, man. Pharmacist Jeff, I don't know what he's doing, but he was sending me, like, not those type of pictures, but pictures of when he would always go to Greeley as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised he's not on Elway's Christmas list because there's every year growing up, there's pictures of him next to Elway. So that's his guy. Well, hour two coming up.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back to it, hour two. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. I love talking to fullbacks, and I like seeing fullbacks bust through that line and score touchdowns. This guy handed the football back because he acted like he'd been there before, and Joel Makavica is with us. Joel, I got myself a Makavica koozie Friday.
You did?
I did,
yeah,
man.
You know,
I didn't get it signed yet. But
I didn't get a chance to see you, but I heard you were telling me you played in it, and it was a you know, it's a great little event to get out, play for people you know, and even for charities and those kinds of things, getting out on the golf course. It went from no spring, almost winter, to humid and hot, but it was a fun day, and I'm sorry I missed you, but I'm glad you got a Makavica koozie.
Oh, I'm happy about it. The Lincoln Ortho Open, we finished. We brought up the rear again, but we had a hell of a good time, so it was lots of fun. Joel, it's summer workout time. Anxious to get your thoughts as, you know, we're 11 Saturdays away as we count down for Nebraska 2019, and I want to get your take on what's been going on, and that's a couple couple of off-the-field incidents involving marijuana, specifically Maurice Washington last week. This week, Wandale Robinson. From a culture standpoint, you know Coach Frost very well, and he has got the right things in place for a football program. I do not doubt that. But not everybody is perfect. You've got a couple of missteps by kids. We're not judging jury here. We're just kind of stating what's out there. What's your take? How do you feel about the program's progression? And just from your standpoint, when you were playing summer workouts, that peer leadership for accountability, what needs to happen here? What's your reaction to what's been going on?
Foremost, I think me as well as a lot of other former players, and I think the state is just excited with the progression of where they feel Nebraska football is headed. And I think it's like anything, where no matter how long you've done it, let's say you've done radio for 10 or 15 years, or no matter how long you've done it, and then you come into a new situation to where you get hired by another radio station, it takes some time to adjust to that new setting. And I think that's where Coach Frost is at, that this was his second spring ball, this was his second recruiting cycle, his second summer and off season. And so I think he's settling in and he's getting very comfortable. And one of the things he wanted to do is come in here, and he talked about it, is change the culture and get back to the culture where Nebraska was dominant, and he understands what he's got to do, and he understands the big reclamation process that is, and I think he's got a handle on the situation. And you talk about some of these off-the-field things, and I think every team goes through that. I think that's the nature of the beast. When you're dealing with 150, 17, 18, 19, 21-year-old young men, kids are going to make mistakes, and I think that's what you're seeing is there's some kids that are making mistakes, and hopefully they will understand those mistakes and learn from them and maybe get a second chance to prove their worth to this program. And like I said, I don't think Nebraska is the only one that is dealing with this, and when you're talking about what they've been accused of doing, that's just society today is to where things like that are more prevalent than they were 10, 15, 20 years ago. And I think kids are running into more of those problems and have access to more of those things. But I don't think we're the only program that does that. And I think from a culture standpoint, I think he's got things moving in the right direction.
Joel Makovic is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Makovic of Physical Therapy. So, Joel, a thought here. Who are some of the guys on the team now that need to kind of step forward, maybe they have this week, and say to guys, knock it off and have some teeth with that threat?
Well, the first and foremost one is, and especially since to me, and I'm speaking on the offensive side of it, is a guy that came in and showed some of his leadership ability as a true freshman, and now he's a true sophomore and a leader of this football team as the quarterback. And Adrian Martinez has to do that, because these are guys that are on the offensive side, and he knows that he's going to have to ride with these guys, and they are very talented individuals, that can win games for Nebraska. And so I think even though he's a true sophomore, just the position he plays and how he came in and carried himself as a true freshman, I think one of the leaders of this football team is Martinez. And you hear it from the coaching staff, and that's what they've wanted him to do. He's a leader with his play, that they want to get him more a leader on and off the field, if you would say, and kind of in his words, and bring kids along. So I think he's got to step up and let these guys know this is not how we do it. And this is how we need to prepare and how we need to practice and how we take pride off season as well. So I think he's one of the guys that need to step up and do that. And there's a bunch of older guys that have been through this program, and maybe not with the coaching staff now, but have been through and seen the expectations of the coaching staff for the last year. And I think anytime you can please yourselves and have upperclassmen or people that are playing show the leadership. When we were there, we had a thing called the Unity Council, where we had started in. And it was anything from off-the-field problems to missing class to grades in class that you would have to go. If you had so many strikes against you, you would have to go in front of the Unity Council, and every position on the team had voted somebody to represent that position group in the Unity Council. And you'd have to go in front of your peers and explain what was going on. And Dennis and Keith from the academic side and some of your position coaches would explain what's happening and why they're in front of the Unity Council. And we would kind of police the situation. And that helped us a great deal, whether it was, hey, you had to run stadium stairs, whether, hey, you had to be with somebody when you went out all the time to keep you on the straight and narrow. But anytime the leaders on the football team can police themselves, it helps the coaching staff.
Few minutes here. Joel Makovicka with us, Hale Varsity Radio. The topic of marijuana, we spent time on it yesterday, and it is so prevalent now, more prevalent. It's also legal medicinally and also recreationally in a number of states. What are coaches at the high school and college level up against now?
Hey, that is a difficult question, because there's some people I've talked to that I played with in certain football situations that they are principals and superintendents and high school football coaches. Now that I asked them the same question last fall to see if, you know, what I was always hearing that was more of a problem now than whenever I was in high school, because I never saw it when I was in high school. And I don't know if that's because, hey, I came from a Class B school where I graduated with 18 kids in my high school class, and it was never anything I saw in high school. Now, is that different than if you go into an urban or a bigger city to where, you know, you have 300 or 400, 500 mm-hmm. classmates in a bigger school if you see it more? But these people told me that it's as prevalent now as alcohol was in high school when I was going through high school. It's as easy to get. It's out there everywhere. And I think that does make it difficult, because you know, when I talk to some people, there's some of these kids that are coming from, that we recruit from the state of Colorado or the state of California, that is legal in those states. And I believe it's legal in 15 states throughout the country. And like we talked about, medicinally, 20 to 25 states. So it poses a different problem than we had 15 or 20 years ago, because I think as we continue to move forward and we progress in this country, you're going to see it more and more prevalent. And these kids, even seeing professional athletes that they look up to that are getting caught doing marijuana, and then after they retire saying, hey, marijuana has helped me with aches and pains and get off the opioids and these kind of things. So I don't know if there's an answer to it. I think it's going to be prevalent. I think it's something that these coaches know that and understand that they're going to be faced with these situations more and more in the future. And I don't know if there's a real good solution for the problem right now.
Well, I mean, it's an uphill battle when you mentioned the different parts of the country it's legal in, and from the medicinal side of things, just let's talk healthcare for a moment with you know, if you have a family member, God forbid, battling MS or cancer. I mean, there's uses for it that'll help those folks with pain management that I am very sympathetic to. I'm also for having a good time if you're of age for things, you know what I mean? So, and it's just kind of a new choice what kids and young adults want to use as recreational, take the edge off.
Well, and I think you hit it right on the head. Is there is medicinal purposes for it, and that's why, you know, there are some states that first approved it to say to help with nausea or nausea with chemotherapy or pain from chemo or some cancers that is shown to help some of that stuff. So, you know, the difficulty of it now is it's kind of like anything. Do you just legalize it in all of the United States and let the government regulate it and tax it and make sure it's of the highest quality or those types of things? Like I said, it goes back to, years and years and years of people talking about this. And I can understand people that talk, that propose, are opponents of it, because a lot of people say it's a gateway drug to other types of drugs and other things that can go on. So I don't think this debate will be solved anytime soon. And like I said, it's just one more thing that our young people in this country and across the world have to deal with, because it is out there more prevalently. And just making good choice and having people in your life to help with those choices, whether that's parents, whether that's friends, whether that's peers, whether that's, you know, when you go to college and play athletics, that's the coaching staff. And that's why, you know, just speaking kind of with Coach Frost is this is why I think he's done such a great job in other places he has been, is because he is one of those guys that he has the trust of his players. And I think when he recruits them and when they come here, it is he knows they know he has their back, and it's kind of, he becomes a father figure, or one of these people that can steer these guys, these young men, in the right direction, because there are a lot of avenues and pitfalls in young people's lives now, and that's one good thing about having, you know, coaching staff and a head coach with the character that we have at Nebraska to help these young men.
Joel, let's talk a little football, and we got deep there, but it was a good conversation. Phil Steele was with us yesterday. He predicts Nebraska will win the West. They will be taking on Michigan in the Big Ten championship game. He has Michigan downing Nebraska. That would be a great second season to get to the Big Ten championship game. What teams in the West concern you? I mean, if you were to give me the threats to Nebraska, they're the obvious candidates, but the Joel Nakavica, man, those guys are tough. Who out of the West concerns you in 2019?
Yeah, that's great that Phil Steele has this one in the West, because he does about as much research as you can do in analyzing college football. I love reading his magazine, but I didn't read that he had us win in the West. You know, that's a great question. Obviously, you take the two big ones in Wisconsin and Iowa, and they're going to be teams that, you know, me personally, give us 2 to 3 more years, and I think we should have set the ceiling so high in the West that we can outplay Iowa and Wisconsin every year. But right now, Wisconsin, where I look at things is, you know, offensive, defensive line, and they've done an unbelievable job in the last 5 to 10 years of recruiting and developing kids in the trenches, and that's why they've been so successful. And Iowa's done the same thing. And Iowa returning Nick Stanley, anytime you can return a quarterback of his caliber, I think they're going to be a team to beat in the West. Now, with that being said, I think we have one of the best quarterbacks in the Big Ten Conference. So anytime you can have a quarterback, especially in this day and age of college football with the talent of Adrian, I think you got a shot in most every game you play. But I think Wisconsin and Iowa might be the threats we have in the West. But I did read somewhere the other day where somebody was calling Minnesota was going to be a threat in the West to us. So I think it's wide open, you know, and Nebraska is right there to where they could take the next step and be a contention to go to the Big Ten championship game.
Nope, contention is what you want. Schedule sets up well with most of the big dogs in Memorial Stadium. You got roadies to Purdue and, of course, Minnesota. It's an earlier showdown with Row the Boat Guy. In middle of October. But no, I mean, I think there'll be a lot of close games, a lot of swing games. But you know what, Nebraska, if they can keep that development going on the lines of scrimmage, you've got the difference maker at quarterback and you've got the difference maker at play caller. We'll see where it goes. Well, and you get Ohio State at home.
Yeah, you get Ohio State at home with a new quarterback. And you know, I know Day, the head coach, had been the head coach during the suspension of Urban Meyer. But again, it's anytime you take the reins for good and you're not interim head coach, it's a different animal. And so, you know, we get them early. You know, I still think we're a couple years from where Coach Frost wants to be. I think, like I said, I think you hit the nail on the head to where, you know, we still have to develop our offensive line and defensive line, and that's what's going to take the longest for Nebraska. And I think the biggest changes ahead for us is the strength and conditioning program with Zach Duvall and those guys, and to change
the way we are developing offensive defensive linemen, and that to me will take a few more years. But you know, it's exciting for the turnaround and the way nationally people are percepting this team going forward, just in year number two.
Joel Makovicka with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Joel, we'll get caught up closer to August, man. It was fun to chat. Thanks for a few minutes today, man.
Anytime, my man.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Big thanks to Joel Makovicka. His take on the Nebraska football culture and weed. And what Coach Frost is battling. Good insight here from Hall of Famer and All-American for Nebraska. We'll get into some of the biggest Big Ten games. We'll see what's most important for you on the radar. But a transfer for Nebraska we haven't gotten to yet. Travis Vokolek has made his decision via Twitter today to come to Nebraska. Vokolek is, well, he's 6'6", he's 250, he's got playing experience, obviously, in the Big Ten for Rutgers, and what a job by Nebraska to get a guy with this size and this athleticism to Lincoln, because he's a guy that K-State wanted, and he's a guy that Iowa really targeted, and let's just say Iowa's got a glorious history of tight ends the last 15 years. That have gone into the league, that have gone to Pro Bowls, okay? And that's a win for Nebraska. So the final visit was in Lincoln towards the end of May, and it was supposed to be kind of a quick decision, right? Well, it ended up taking a while, a couple of weeks, to narrow it down between Nebraska, Kansas State, and Iowa. Nebraska won out, and what you have here for Vokolek is 2 years of eligibility. He'll have to sit out. Now, there is an option here when it comes to counting against Nebraska's numbers. Vokolek could enroll in classes and then not count against Nebraska until 2020. That's an option. It's called blue shirting. So we'll see if Nebraska goes that route. He's a kid out of Missouri. So I'm wondering how a kid out of Missouri, Springfield, Missouri, Dan Alexander country, ended up out way the hell out in Rutgers. And it makes sense, right? I mean, you have Rutgers not that long ago as an 8-5 bowl team with Carew, right? The Carew was the talented wideout. Mm-hmm. And Rutgers was a squad, and then they got rid of their coach, and they've got Mr. Ohio State in there, and he's trying to save his job this year and not go 2-10. I think if somebody's ever patient with Rutgers, you could really clean up out there. There's so much talent in that region of the country. So, kids out of Springfield, Missouri, three-star tight end, and per 24/7 Sports Composite, the number 94 tight end in the country here. And he's shown some ability here against Michigan State, was able to thrive against the Illini. And this year, Nebraska's only tight end in the 19 class was Hickman. Okay, you still have Austin Allen, who Austin Allen's going to be nice. Austin Allen's going to be great in the end zone. He's going to be fantastic in the red zone with his basketball background and his jump ball ability. Kurt Raftall, another big body. Raftall's super talented as well. So I like the tight end lineups, right? You've got the speed of Hickman, the size of Allen and Raftall. And when it comes to position of need, they just must like this kid's upside and athleticism to go with him. Also, Coach Super Mario and Coach Chenander working with Vokolek's dad at Northern Iowa. So there's that history. And it's the third grad transfer. I like the grad transfer option and market. You've got Noah, obviously. You've got Daniels out of Okie State, Noah out of Cal. And the other spot, Jakeem Green, who's a high-profile SEC target that ended up coming to Lincoln that'll be here for some devastation this fall. So he's out of Highlands Community College. So Nebraska adding a tight end spot. What I envision with the Nebraska tight ends as mismatches, and you've got a kid like Legrone that I think can be really big for Nebraska as well. Mm-hmm. Of course, you got Mr. Super Mullet Stoll.
Yeah.
So that body type, that size, and if things don't get moving more to Coach Walter's liking, Coach Frost's liking, from a wide receiver standpoint, you know you got JD, you know you got Warner.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you at with Woodyard? Where are you at with Hunt? Where are you at with Williams? You have athletes. Are they going to be consistent for you? I'd go Gronky Kong here. I would split me out some Austin Allen and Stoll, okay, in the slot, and just button hook teams to death or run them up the seat, says the radio guy with minimal football IQ when it comes to, in comparison to Frost and the offensive coordinator and what they're going to draw up. So, but no, that could be something you look at. And think about some of the big plays. This is a play with the tight end, the double tight end set that worked Ohio State. And I think it was Raftall who made a hell of a catch down the sideline against Ohio State, where you had Stoll down, you had Raftall kind of slotted, and you ran like a scissor route where you have a safety that's supposed to take the tight end. Well, he was screwed because he chose unwisely. And you had Raftall, might have been Allen. It was either, was it Allen or Raftall that made the wheel route catch for 32?
I want to say it was Allen, but...
It was Allen.
Yeah.
It was Allen.
They all kind of blend together because they're very large. Because
they all block the sun at 6'6", 6'7". Yes. But if you got ability and size like that with Stoll, you've got a nice trio of tight ends. And you bring this kid in that already has some Big Ten experience. He's physical. He's a Missouri kid. I think it's okay to take a spot. And if he's going to count against 2020 potentially, it's a no-brainer to go with.
Well, yeah, he's got the frame you just love in your tight end. I mean, Nebraska wants a tight end that can be a sixth offensive lineman that can go out and catch the ball and create mismatches in the secondary too. A very Gronk prototype type of player, and that's exactly what we're getting with these guys.
Right, and give me the size, give me the athleticism, give me the mismatch ability, and give me a bruiser, and give me that tenacity. If I can get a sixth offensive tackle, you're right, that works well. So that's a little bit of that thunder in this this Frost spread offense. Teams that have cleaned up in the Big Ten and are looking to kind of keep that momentum rolling, the Big Ten games of the year with the college football calendar. Good stuff from Hale Varsity and our dear friend Dr. Petey. So what's the most important game of the year in the Big Ten? Is there any argument that it's Michigan-Ohio State? What's the most important game for Nebraska in the Big Ten? And you can look me in the eye and go, all of them? But you have a slew of really great games, right? I mean, they are games of substance that determine. What's your crossover schedule look like? Well, it looks really funky. It looks really funky for Wisconsin this year. It just does. Mm-hmm. It looks bad for Iowa, okay, in comparison to some of the lighter years versus Nebraska's 2017 or even a year ago where Nebraska's dealing with some mismatches. Iowa, Wisconsin, that thing's always 17-13 and eliminates one of them, right, from the West race. If Wisconsin heads to Evanston, that thing gets dicey. Purdue and Nebraska and Minnesota at Nebraska, I should say Nebraska at Minnesota. Oh, Ohio State, Michigan is up there. And then you have Ohio State at Nebraska, and then Michigan is also hosting Ohio State this year. But Penn State at Ohio State, I don't know. I don't know that I put that number one. That's number one on the list as Dr. Petey has ranked the best five Big Ten games, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Things that will make the biggest impact of the year. again, like we said with Wisconsin and Iowa, Penn State, Ohio State's kind of an elimination game. You've got that death triangle with Wisconsin, Nebraska, Iowa, with Penn State, with Ohio State, with Michigan. And in some years, it's been Michigan State. You know, I think Penn State's going to be down. I think Penn State will be okay. But there is some payback. Ohio State's still pissed about 2 or 3 years ago, where they had the game won and then they didn't. Special teams happened. And Penn State won the Big Ten championship, went 11-2, couldn't quite hang on against SC. I think from a national perspective, clearly what you do against Ohio State on a grand stage September 28th, with or without game day, is monumental from a confidence standpoint. That'll be big time. You'll get your test and kind of check the waters, so to speak, against Colorado. Whatever you learned from the trip to Boulder, you need to apply against Ohio State, while not forgetting about Lovey and Illinois the week before. Michigan, Ohio State, that's going to be for who is headed to Indy. I don't expect Ohio State to stumble much. Like, for them, 10-2 is a stumble, right?
Yeah.
But I still expect them to be 10-2 and probably part of the New Year's Day six.
Well, part of my thing, I was looking at this, so I don't, maybe it's Ohio State, Penn State, because what lingers for Ohio State the next week, and Michigan, not that they get a bye week per se, but they're playing Indiana. But we don't know what Penn State's going to look like either, because they're trying to reload just as much as other teams are. And Ohio State, the only thing they're doing is they have a brand new coach, new quarterback. New coach, new quarterback, right. But everything else, for the most part, you'd think they're probably set on. Personally, for me, if it comes to what's Nebraska's most important game, and it might sound kind of cliche, but it's Iowa, because I think those are the two teams fighting for the Big Ten West. I think once you get through the rest of the middle of the season, you know, if you beat Minnesota and you beat Purdue, you can. Wisconsin's going to drop more than just one game. I don't think they're going to be the Wisconsin of old by any means.
8-4, 9-3, Wisconsin.
7-5, 8-4. Yeah, I think.
I think they'll be better at quarterback.
You think?
As young as homeboy is, he still has JT to hand off to.
Yeah.
And that O line. Is new, but the defensive line at Wisconsin will be better. Iowa, to me, I think Wisconsin's beatable because of their youth at quarterback. I think Iowa's the team you got to tag.
Yep.
You got to tag them this year. It may come down to 3 o'clock Black Friday for who is going to win the West. Now, Iowa's going to have to sidestep some landmines with their schedule.
Yeah.
They may be eliminated. Minnesota, Purdue, both those road games. Like, who's Nebraska lose to?
Indiana and Northwestern.
Indiana's a trap game for sure.
Yeah, start drinking heavily for that one. More Hail Varsity continues.
And now back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Elijah Herbel. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us. Some thoughts on Nebraska last segment. Most important game for Nebraska is... And there's a lot of them. Say all of them. It's all good. But what games may affect Nebraska the most? You know, you could put some wins together. And is your win over Ohio State going to look great? You don't care. You just want to get it handled. But is it going to look great at the end of the year? And anytime you beat Ohio State, man, it's a feather in your cap. We'll see how much transition and turnover affects the Buckeyes. And if Nebraska can get to Indy against Michigan per Phil Steele from yesterday. We'll give you an update in just a moment on David Ortiz and remind you about airbags and seatbelts. And airbags aren't enough all the time. Do you want the seatbelt or windshield to stop your forward motion when you're in an accident? Seatbelts prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and body need to slow down in a hurry. That applies to whether you're in the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now, click it, or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Okay, so Big Poppy got picked up by the Red Sox private jet. They transported David Ortiz back to Boston. And the good news you have, this just came down from the Associated Press and ESPN. David Ortiz took his first steps today, about an hour ago, following a second surgery after he arrived late last night in Monday. That's the word from his wife, Tiffany. Big Poppy's in stable condition. That was sent out through the Red Sox. So Ortiz has been alert. He's spoken with family. He flashed that famous smile. Says his media assistant, Leo Lopez. Second surgery lasted until about 1 a.m. on Tuesday without specific details. Ortiz remains in intensive care. Going to be closely monitored for the next 24 to 48 hours. So from an infection standpoint, they'll be watching that. I don't know this as a fact, but you have medical conditions in the Dominican versus medical conditions and opportunity at Boston's finest hospital. Mm-hmm. They had to move him from a health and safety standpoint from Dominican to Boston. And the fact he needed a second surgery is very, very concerning. But if he's alert and doing better, God bless him. That is great, great news. And you've seen the footage, likely, if you wanted to look on just how the assassination attempt was carried out. And it shifted. It shifted from robbery to someone hired a hitman to go get Big Poppy. Two people are in custody, the suspected shooter and driver. And I just want more of this story. What was the deal? Are you so jealous of someone's fame and achievement that you're trying to kill him? Is somebody out to get Big Poppy? The guy has given so much money to a heart institute he started for children in the Dominican. It boggles my mind. One of my favorites with the Red Sox, one of the reasons I'm a Red Sox fan, is David Ortiz. And the other is Pedro Martinez. Pedro Martinez, very emotional today on the Major League Baseball Network.
He's like a brother to you. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there. If there's something that I must say about David, is that David has been a strong-hearted person, someone that's used to perseverance, a great role model to society, to baseball, in general, as a human being, a great father. I don't have enough words to describe how, you know, who David is, what David means to baseball. But I'm so disappointed to know that someone like David, who saved so many lives, can have someone after his life. And I'm sorry, I get. I'm sorry. But it hurts me. It hurts me. A guy that saves lives. And I'm sorry. Reach a level that everybody that works, everybody that goes out there every day wants to reach. Whoever works, whoever gets to any job wants to get to what David got, to success in life, to be a role model, to be that person that everybody wants to see and wants to hug. And to see someone just want to take his life away is in such a coward way. It bothers me. It bothers me deeply. And I feel for David like a brother, like a family member, like a colleague, a teammate. My relationship, I know, is beyond what everybody else gets, but I just can't take it. And I'm here sitting with you guys, and I'm trying to have fun, but my heart is with David, with his family, with everybody that cares about David. Because it's just one coward out there that wanted to do that to someone that didn't deserve it. There's no place or space to have that against anybody in life. Neither someone like David that's working so hard, has worked so hard his entire career to actually you know, help so many other lives and serve as a role model. I'm sorry about this.
You don't have to apologize.
No.
Chris Rose, Pedro Martinez, Major League Baseball Network. And that hits home on so many different levels because Pedro's a Dominican guy. Pedro's a guy who got out of poverty. Pedro's a guy who's paid it forward, just like David Ortiz. And they're two different stories, right? Pedro Martinez was the can't-miss prospect, the brother of Ramon, who was a big-time get for the Dodgers, right? One of the premier organizations in all of baseball. And, well, here's my little brother, Pedro. Ramon Martinez never peaked beyond, I think, a 15-win season. Montreal, because they just drafted and developed better than anybody, had connections in the Dominican. They got a guy like Pedro. Guy was phenomenal, and it was a 19-20 game winner year two. Signs a monster deal, goes to Boston. Ortiz is done with the Twins organization. Dan Duquette, they pick up a guy named Big Poppy. What's Big Poppy do? All he does is crush it with two strikes and two outs to vanquish the Yankees. All he does is step up in a moment of horror 6 years ago with the Boston Marathon bombing. And with Pedro and Schilling, yeah, they won that first title, but Ortiz was the guy in the clubhouse for the other two. And the way Pedro laid it out there where, listen, man, we're two guys who've made it, but David's really given back. For someone to go want to take a person who cares about others away like that, it's really eating up Pedro Martinez. So that's some perspective from a guy that's a teammate and a countryman, and he's thinking about it. Big Poppy taking his first steps today. That is great news. We'll wind down a Tuesday edition of Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time, you want to catch today's show if you missed parts of it. Podcast will be up, HailVarsity.com. Get to iTunes. We'll have some of the greatest hits with Mitch Sherman and Joel Mackavica on ESPN Lincoln's Twitter handle. The on-demand to catch those interviews, ESPNLincoln.com. Log on ESPN Lincoln as well. Get signed up. Submit the pics of you and that proud son of yours or daughter to celebrate Father's Day. Your chance to win a $100 gift card to Austad's. Our friends at Austad's, of course, Wahoo Meat Locker. As well, a gift card there. All you got to do is log on ESPNLincoln.com, click on the Father's Day picture submission, and get it sent in by the 13th, running out of time. So Hard Knocks has been determined, correct, Elijah?
What, it's for the Raiders?
Yes.
Yes, that's what as
they have been chosen.
Know.
So break this down here. You just sent me the report, and it looks like HBO has come to an agreement with Oakland, with Coach Gruden, with Mayock, the drama surrounding Carr, if he's wanted or not, Antonio Brown, Vontaze Burfict, and Richie Incognito. I may get HBO just to watch this. Wait,
just coming into the season, the Raiders were already the best story in the NFL besides the Browns. Hard Knocks went back to the Browns last year. I didn't think they're going to go back again. So I think this is the next best option for Hard Knocks. I love Hard Knocks personally.
It is entertaining. Gruden is a natural in front of the camera with his fired head coaches association polo he'd wear when he'd sit those quarterbacks down for the Gruden draft camp videos.
Mm-hmm.
But Burfict is a guy that's going to take some getting used to for his teammates. They may not care. He's a baller. He just tries to murder people.
Mm-hmm.
Mayock, you've seen him on camera and radio long enough that you know that he's a polished soundbite, but he's also an NFL mind. Gruden, you have Carr, who he needs to get a little thicker skin, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's too bad he got hurt like he did, because he did have a hell of a good year. But he started the war with Stephen A. But Incognito, man, is, I mean, he's the star of the show. Antonio Brown, I wonder if folks just tolerate Antonio or if folks dig Antonio because of his talent.
I used to like Antonio Brown until the whole thing with Juju this summer. I think he's got too big an ego. I'm excited to go see how the show portrays him.
Well, yeah, I mean, what kind of camera coverage are you going to get? Are you getting like full access 24 hours? Or are you going to get what the PR team
yeah.
for Antonio Brown wants you to see? It's about branding.
You know, I don't hate Antonio Brown by any means. I mean, he's an incredible wide receiver, and I think Pittsburgh's not a place that
they don't put up with divas.
No, they don't.
And there were three divas, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you got Big Ben, you got Le'Veon, you got Brown.
And I think it's just a matter of, you know, get out while you can and get out while you're a free agent.
Well, and with AB, I mean, you don't quit on your team like he did.
That's true.
Le'Veon,
questionable.
I know he sat out for a year, but it was more about getting guaranteed money.
Yeah.
Back to you tomorrow at 4 with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Thanks for tuning in.